Thanks again, team. If you'd like to open your Bibles to that Psalm, Psalm 100, we'll just look at that Psalm again. It's only a few verses. Keep it fresh in our mind as we consider a life of thanksgiving. A life of thanksgiving to God. Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. The Lord is good. And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. As I considered this day of thanksgiving, I thought there was a subtle danger in the Christian life is to treat thanksgiving to God as a bit of a one-off event, perhaps as we've done today in thanking many of our volunteers who give to their time to the life of this church. I certainly hope that myself and others are saying thank you throughout the year as well, not just on the end of November. But a subtle danger in the Christian life is to treat giving thanks to God as an occasional box-ticking exercise or a one-off event and not a way of life as it should be. You know, I think there's no more obvious example as just this week, and it is a coincidence that it's been Thanksgiving Day in America. It's a big deal. People are celebrating it in Australia now. I think it's bigger than Christmas. Family travel at any expense to be home for Thanksgiving, more important than any other day. And they set aside this single day, as they have for hundreds of years, to express gratitude. It's a great thing to do. But the people of God, as we'll see today in this psalm and also in Colossians, we are called to live every day in thankful worship to God. That it is a way of life, not an event or a thing to do at times. And this Psalm 100 invites us into this rhythm of life that is joyful in thanksgiving. And it's not about the circumstances of life, what is going on for us day to day. It's because of who God is and because of his enduring love and faithfulness, we will give thanks. And so it begins, that thanksgiving begins with who God is. And in verse 3 it says, know that the Lord is God. So thanksgiving, and a life of thanksgiving, doesn't begin with what we have, but it begins with who God is. They say that you can't necessarily appreciate art until you've spoken to the artist. I remember when Mackenzie and Ava were small and in prep and kinder and grade one, the art pieces that would come home, blobs of paint, and it looked like it would just be another piece for the recycling bin because it just builds up so much. Yellows and stick figures and then little dots and a bit of blue, and you're like, oh, wonderful. Until you ask them, what's going on here? And they'll explain, oh, that's us. As a family. We're at the beach. That's the sun, they're the waves. And I remember we had a good time. And all of a sudden you've spoken to them and heard them and what it means to them, and you're like, that can't go in the recycling for at least a week. It means so much. Makes me want to nearly put it on the wall at home. But you know, in the same way, We look at creation and think about giving thanks for the provision of our needs and our health and our family, a place to live and food to eat. Wonderful things. But thanking God for them is greater and genuinely sincere when we truly grasp and know who God is. If we say thanks to the Lord, thank you God for the rain, or thank you God for this successful operation, and thank you God for this, and thank you God for the food we're about to eat, but have absolutely no understanding of who God is, that thanks is useless. It's meaningless. But to know that the Lord is God, that's where thanksgiving begins. To know that the Lord is God. That is to understand that God has the ultimate power, that He is sovereign, that He has control. He has the role as the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. It is a call to both have an intellectual understanding of who God is, but also a personal faith and lived experience of who God is. He is the source of life, a refuge, a fortress for His people amidst the chaos of this life. And this understanding in our thanks to God shows a deep trust in His authority and a recognition of His presence in our life. And we thank God not because every moment of our days are pleasant and comfortable and feel amazing, but we thank God because every moment of our life is known by Him. And He will supply all our needs. Our God will carry us through the circumstances. Our God will strengthen us when we need to resist temptation, to deal with what we're facing. Oh, and so we should be thankful continuously. A life of thanksgiving begins with knowing who God is, knowing who we are thankful for too. In knowing that the Lord is God, it's important then in thanksgiving we recognize who we are, what is our position. It is He who made us. We are His people. We are not self-made. We are not an accident. We have not evolved from a big bang. We are crafted and formed with purpose. And every human life has dignity, has worth and value. The school that our daughters belong to, they have behaviour policies and uniform policies. And at times they're very strict on how you represent the school, both in and out of the school. And so sometimes there are teachers on the gate to ensure the shirts are tucked in and the blazers are worn and you look the part as you come into school, because you belong to the school and that's what's important. And occasionally they asking us to, not at K2, not at K2, not at, go up to K3, I haven't got my blazer, I haven't got my shirt, oh, I've got the wrong socks on, go up to K4. Not K2. You're accountable. Off you go. For those who trust and faith, who's placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told that we belong. We belong to God. That is our identity. And what is important to God should be important to us. The priorities of God's kingdom should be the priorities of our life that shape the way that we think and the way that we live. Belonging to God brings purpose and hope. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies, our physical bodies, are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, who you receive from God? You are not your own. You've been bought at a price." And we've just been remembering that price that was paid. Jesus gave his life. And the purpose for this life in belonging to God is God has in store for us a spirit-filled life. And it's not about falling over backwards here on a Sunday morning in some chaotic scene, but it's about our character. It's about our morals. That the fruit of the Spirit would be evident in our life, not just as a collective in this community, but also as individuals as we go into our communities. That we would be known in our communities by our love. We would be known in our communities by our joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are they the words that come to mind of those around us in our communities, of our character, of who we are? Belonging to God also brings a wonderful hope. A hope for the future. That is beyond this life. And while God is drawing us into holiness, to be more like Jesus, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, we are still in this sinful body. And the beyond this life is eternity. And the hope we live for is the certainty of being in God's presence for eternity. Thanksgiving is understanding who God is, but understanding who we are. And that we belong. We belong to the Creator. Thanksgiving is also a response. It's a response to God's goodness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. And his love endures forever. Corey Ten Boom tells the story of, I'll get it right, the Ravensbrück concentration camp, where she was located with her sister. And in telling this story in World War II, of being in this camp, they were in this flea-infested, death-ridden dorm cabin. And her sister said to her, Corey, you need to give thanks to God. We need to thank God for the fleas. She goes, "Oh, I can thank God for so many things, but I just can't thank God for the fleas. That's ridiculous." And she wrote that months later, even though she thought those fleas are so far from being a blessing from God, she wrote down that months later, they discovered that guards had avoided their barracks because of the fleas. In avoiding their barracks, they didn't receive the physical assaults that others received. In avoiding the barracks, they didn't have their luggage checked like others did. And so they kept their Bibles. And because the guards were not coming in because of the fleas, they had regular Bible studies together. And she said, "What a pest and a pain those fleas were, but God used them for good." The psalmist tells us to give thanks because the Lord is good. In 2025, and probably for a number of years, the word good in our language, in English, in this society, it's actually a word that just means pretty average. If you go to someone's house and they cook you a beautiful dinner, we don't say, oh, that was good. It's great. If it's good, it's like, oh, it's just average. It's edible. But you don't want to hear it's just good. You want to hear, oh, that was amazing. It was fantastic. But if you go to Genesis 1, the Creator, God, the sun and the moon and the stars, put them into place, and he said, this is good. And the vegetation, the trees, this is good. The fish, the birds of the air and other animals, it's good. And created man in his image, says is very good. And when we say that God is good, we are not describing a standard that God is reaching through the way that he works in our life and the activities that he undertakes. We are saying that the very nature of God is the standard of goodness. That God is perfectly moral, merciful, gracious and generous. That God is the source of all goodness. His intentions are always for the betterment of his creation. His character is consistently aligned with love and justice and kindness. Everything good originates from God. And even when we are dealing with circumstances in our life that are so difficult, we can trust that the outcome of God's plan is ultimately good. Because we know who he is. We know the purpose he has for us in this life. But even beyond that is the wonderful hope of what is to come. We aren't called to live in this body for eternity. This is deteriorating. Occasionally expanding, but deteriorating. And what is to come is for eternity, praise God. So in all circumstances, we can be thankful to God, praising him because he is good. God's goodness is seen by his love. His love that endures forever. It's a real common phrase. It's a very common phrase in Scripture. That God's love endures forever. The Hebrew word used for love in this context is hesed. And it's a deep, rich word that speaks to a covenant love. A love that is loyal and steadfast and that is lasting. God's love for us is not based on how good we are. That doesn't determine how much God will love us. It's not performance based. It's not going to run out. It's not going to fade. His love for Adam and Eve and for Moses and for David and for his disciples is the same love that he has for us here in Monty. In the book of Hosea, I know we probably haven't read it recently, but in the book of Hosea, God calls the prophet Hosea to marry an adulterous woman, Gomer. And when she runs away, God calls Hosea to go after her, to forgive her, to love her, and pursue her. And what God is doing for the Israelites, and also the same picture for us, is that God's love is relentless. God's love is incredible. It is good. It is beyond what we can imagine that we would have, we would love. Because we change. We are very inconsistent. We are sinners. We falter. We fail. But God does not. God is faithful. Most of you, I imagine, are very familiar with the parable that Jesus told of the prodigal son. Takes his inheritance and off he went. Made all sorts of decisions that had all sorts of terrible consequences. And decided he wanted to go home to live as a servant because that would have been better than what he was facing. And the father, Jesus said, the father didn't slam the door shut. The father didn't go hide somewhere and make it difficult for the son to try to find him. No, the father was waiting, looking, running towards, forgiving, hugging, celebrating. God's good. And it's seen in his love for us. So give thanks. Beyond the circumstances, give thanks. Circumstances come and go, don't they? The good, the bad, the easy days, the really difficult days. Times when we have plenty and the times when we seem to have very little. Circumstances come and go and change so quickly. But God's hesed, his love, never changes. It is promise keeping, it is faithful, and it is enduring. He desires to see you restored in a relationship with himself by faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour. That you would be made right with him, forgiven, accepted back like the Father accepted the Son. He will extend his arms to you. He will forgive you and restore you to how you were first created to be, in relationship with our Creator. Thanksgiving to God will shape how we live. If you turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, just a few verses in from verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, be thankful. Be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanksgiving to God will shape how we live, because thanksgiving to God, as we said, should be a way of life. Thanksgiving to God will shape how we live because of our new identity. Paul begins with our identity, not our activity. Our identity, that we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We don't give thanks because life is perfect. Otherwise we'd be giving thanks not very often at all. We give thanks because our identity is in Christ. And God has set his love on us. No matter the circumstances, our identity doesn't change. God has set his love on us. He has chosen us, making us holy, transforming our life, and he calls us his own. Thanksgiving to God will shape how we live, because it should shape how we relate with others. Paul lists these virtues that we are to put on. It's another list that is to be the evidence of our belonging to Christ. Compassion, kindness, humility. That those things are, some of those are repeated from the Galatians 5 passage and the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot be truly thankful to God in our life if we are consistently harsh with people. We cannot be full of gratitude if we are consistently full of bitterness in our heart. A thankful heart towards our God produces a gracious spirit towards others that sees these virtues put on in our everyday life. And lastly, thankfulness grows, matures, and it deepens as the peace of Christ rules in our hearts. The word rule that is used here in verse 15, it references like a referee, an umpire. We all love umpires, don't we? Get it right all the time. Let the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ call the shots, if you like. Have the overriding authority in your heart. Be the motivation behind the decisions that we make each and every day. Because what we can often do is allow other things to be the motivation, other things to override and be the authority that we make decisions based on, and sometimes their emotions. We allow anger or excitement or whatever it might be to be the thing that overrides us and has the authority in our mind that we make decisions based on. Sometimes it's fear. Fear of certain circumstances. Fear of confrontation. Fear of dealing with sin. Fear of the consequences. Sometimes circumstances. Sometimes it's old wounds or other people's opinions. And these things can severely impact the decisions that we make. But Paul says, let Christ's peace rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ be the thing that motivates our every decision. The thing that overrides is the authority that we come to before we make any decision. Because one of the life's greatest challenges is to sit in the midst of difficult circumstances and make a decision that is godly. And in those difficult situations, it is the emotions, it is the fears, it is the what's going on around me that can so easily override the way that we think and then the decisions that we make. But sitting in those difficult circumstances and surrendering yourself to the peace of Christ and pray, God, please allow your peace to be the guiding factor, to be the motivation behind this decision about where I need to go, what I need to say, who I need to speak to. Because when the peace of Christ rules our hearts, thanksgiving, it's a natural response. Not as a one-off, but as a lifestyle, as a way of life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that we have it so freely. Thank you that through it you reveal yourself to us. And as I've been thinking about this Romans series, we just love that in Romans 1 you tell us that the gospel has the power to save us. And it is also the way to live a holy life. Thank you that the Holy Spirit is within us, for those of us who belong to you. May we be people who are ruled by your peace this week. That we make every decision surrendering ourselves to you. That in our communities we are known for our love and our joy, our peace and our patience. And may this draw people to you, to believe in you, to trust in you and give their lives to you. We ask this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.